Thank you, Lord, for your love for us.
My Father's business. Lay your cares onto me, and you shall see new beginnings.
Yes, Lord.
You shall see, my child, that I have made a way for the concerns that you have. So be about my Father's business. Trust totally in me, that my will be done in your life and your children and family. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Thank you, Father. We receive that, Lord, and how important it is. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. It's to share his gospel above everything else and what it's all about. Today I want to visit a little bit. If anybody noticed the sign as you came in. So like, yeah, the best app, the Bible, God's word. Of course, where does this come from? But the day that we're living in. For many of us, we've heard this phrase, apps. Sometimes I get so tired of it. Apps. We got an app for this. We got an app for that. We've got churches that are making apps at ups and apps up. But we hear a lot about apps. Now, any of us that has one of these smartphones, we all know about the apps. For those that still have flip phones, God bless you. God bless you. Don't come over to the dark side. But when you have a smartphone, I mean, it's just, you get inundated. So I looked at this and I thought, okay, Lord, to use a smartphone, you're probably going to need some apps. And we have them installed on our device. They automatically come with some already to help you get things going. In many of these apps, we find that they help us. They give us directions. They give us the news, the weather. I mean, I just this morning was looking at mine at home because I was doing some rereading of this, and it talks about the average person, average, whatever that is, has about 40 apps on their phone. Well, I went through and I counted. I think I got twice that or more. I thought, bad, bad. So I did. This is how it works on me. So I got one. I go, I don't use that one anymore. I'm going to delete that. So I deleted one this morning. And I've deleted a few over the past week or two. It's like, why have them on there? I never go to them. It's just something that initially you hear it's a good idea, and you download it, and it's like, and that's where it goes. So anyway, I'm dealing with this myself. Would you believe that the App Store, anybody heard of the Apple App Store? They have just under 2 million apps available. Sounds like a lot of zeros. Just under 2 million apps. Now, that's the Apple Store. Now, you've got Google Play, you know, so we've got that. And so in the Google Play Store, because, you know, you got Apple is Apple, and Google is Google for Androids and things like that. So under their Google Play Store, they've got over 2.87 million apps. We got almost 2 million at Apple and, oh, just under 3 million at Google. Do you think by all of those apps, we ought to just be, we ought to be pretty smart people? I mean, I was looking at this one today, and I thought, do I really need this? But I've never used it, but then I didn't delete it. But it's like, my goodness, I got one here for measuring. And it can measure things. I can just scan it and go this way. I can use it as a level. I can use my phone as a level. I mean, have I used it? No. You know when the last time I used it? This morning at 7:30 when I was just looking at my phone. I go, hey, I've got this on here and I've never used it. But I didn't delete it. I thought, I might use that. But we are in a world that's got full of apps. Apps, application. I was really beginning to believe this week as I was talking with God and talking with, just as I talk with different ones, it's like, app. I said, now let's, this, my mind goes back to the garden. Now I grant it. We say it was the apple, but it's not knowing for sure if it was an apple. It was a pomegranate or something else, but we call it the apple that Eve got to that tree. And I go, what's the first letters of the apple that the Eve took a bite out of? A-P-P, apples. I'm trying to draw a conclusion, Your Honor, that there's a conspiracy here with with Apple, that it's part of the downfall of the world, you know. We think it's the uprising and it's helping us, but I think we're, boy, I tell you, we're getting lulled into a thing here. So the number of, now here, at the end of 2020, they figured the number of smartphone users around the world was going to be predicted to be 3.5 billion people using smartphones. 3.5 billion around the world. Now, the Apple Store and Google Play had a combined 33.6 billion app downloads in the first quarter of 2020. I probably was one of them. Were you? Anybody download an app the first quarter of 2020? And the average person has 40 apps. I'm ashamed. I got more than that. It's a money-making market as well. At the end of 2020, they expected the revenue of last year to come up right at $581.9 billion spent on apps. So as you look at this, there's a lot that our phone has given us with these apps. And there's one for everything under the sun. So I was pondering this. I said, God, with all this knowledge, with all the helps out there with the apps, what's it about? Here we are, a world that is so full of information. We have so many helps at our disposal. We have so many places that we can turn for help and answers. But yet, we're not satisfied. We're confused. At times we might have too much information overload, trying to process all this stuff. I always find that my little report on this thing at the end of the week or so, when it tells me my average use per week was down, you know, like 2 hours and 7 minutes or 3 hours or 1 hour, I figure it this way. If my usage last week, I was down, I count that as a victory. Yes! Now, it's to still say I got a lot of time on this thing, but I'm looking at, okay, thank you, Lord. I love to see the downtime. But we've got all of these things, we got all these systems, we got all of this help before us, but yet we're such a people that we still need help. We still don't have the answer. If nothing else, much of that gets us into anxieties, fears, all of these things. But we're not satisfied with the things that man can give us. Do you find that strange? Not really, do we? That nothing that man can give to us, nothing that man can give us or help us with, generally will keep us satisfied to the point of what we truly need or will help us ongoing. Now, there are times man does help in certain situations. That is a benefit. I'm not saying that. But if we look at that as far as what man can produce, what Apple can produce for us, what Google Play Store can produce for us in application things to put on our phone so that we evidently can have a better life, a life that's fulfilled, a life that's full of knowledge, a life that has anything you need. But yet, we've got to understand that that's man. And the only thing that I know that I can rely upon and turn to, and you know what? I don't have to plug this thing in every night to charge up the battery. I don't have to make sure that I got a Wi-Fi signal that I can see everything. The Bible is something that we have at our disposal, that we have had for a long time, that we need to be turning to as the application process for the life that we're living, for the time that we're in. Amen. Amen. It'll be hard, but I'm going to tell you, I can live without this. But I cannot live without the Bible. The minute that it is gone, the minute that it's taken from us, the minute that it is done away with, thankfully, Lord, by that of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures that we have read and memorized, or it's in your spirit, may not be exactly as what the King James says or the New King James, but you've got that verse in your spirit of the 99.9% of what it means into your life or what God is speaking into you at that time, that they can take this away from you and your spirit will pull that back out. Amen. Hallelujah. That is good. I'm going to tell you, when this thing goes down or something crashes on this, it ain't going to come back to you. I get so frustrated trying to go on a website and I can't remember my sign-on, my password. But going through anything that I do through that phone, it wants checks and balances. And it, not checks and balances, it's just, you know, it wants you to confirm yourself. Now we've got it like a second identifier where it'll send you a code to your text, to your cell phone. Put this in to get in. My mind, I don't know about yours, but it's getting overloaded of so many safeguards to protect yourself, because what I spoke of a few weeks ago was why? Identity theft. And we ourselves, and I shared last week or two back about how, 2 weeks or so back, about, or 3 weeks, identity theft of how the enemy has taken or trying to take, and he will try to take your identity this week. Be prepared. The devil is going to come upon you in some situation, and he's going to try to take your identity this week. And if you don't know who you are as a child of God, likely is that he could succeed at that for a while until the Spirit hits you again saying, Tim, you're a child of God. Get it back. But we've gone through so many authentications to make sure of who we are when we try to get into all these apps. I don't have to do that with God's Word. I flip it open. And I just read. So it hits me. The one app we need for all of our daily going-ons is that of His Word. And that's the Bible. You can turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Because then we'll have people who go, well, how do I know that what I'm reading here is something that I can believe? How do I know that what I'm reading here is something that I can have faith in, trust in? Are you there? If you are, you already know what it says then. Why? Because in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is like training and discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This Bible, God's Word, is going to make you complete. It's going to make you available for every good work, for everything that God wants you to do tomorrow and in the weeks ahead. It's right here in His Word, and it's going to strengthen you. It's going to give you focus. It's going to give you direction. It's going to give you peace, whatever it is, for you to go into your tomorrows. Hallelujah. How many here want to go into your tomorrows? We all want to go in our tomorrows. Hallelujah. We all want to accomplish the things that God has planned out for us. But we got to stay connected to the application of His Word into our life so that we can apply what has been written so long ago. But guess what? It is so vital for today. Generally, the Bible, other than some updates on, you know, verbiages and different translations and how they look at it in English and easy read and modern English version and things like that, okay? But I'm going to say this, that when you've got an app on your phone, about every week and a half, there's something that comes in that says to do what? Update it, update it, update it. We've got a fix. We got a fix to patch a flaw in it that could cause, you know, scammers to come into it or get into your phone, whatever the case is. It's very important that if you've got apps on your phone, to keep them updated, because app developer has found things that could improve it as well as protect it from being hacked. With God's Word, my Bible that I've gotten and somebody gave this to me 20-some-odd years back, I've never had to update it to the point of, has God's Word changed from what it was put in the scriptures that I read 20 years ago? No. I don't need any update. The only update that I need is the update in my spirit man by reading His Word, so that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will bring revelatory knowledge and understanding by what I read in the print, from just logos into that of a rhema, an action word, an action verse, that He wants to put in my spirit at that time so that I can go into my tomorrows. If you don't get activated, if God's Word is not activated in your spirit pretty well on a daily basis, it is going to be very difficult to go into your tomorrows, because you're going to stay where you're at and not proceed forward. There's times that in God's word we read it, and that's all we do is read it, and we stop there, and we go to this point, and that's where we stop. Because we don't let God's word continue to marinate within us, we don't meditate on it, we don't ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten me in that scripture of what it means, and then to specifically say, what does it mean for me, Lord, in this situation that I am in today? To where he speaks that into our spirit so that we know. God's word is there to help you guys. God's word is there to help me. We just have to remember to turn to it. We've got to remember to download it by meditation upon scriptures. We got to find those times to where we can find a quiet time to where you can just sit, be away from the distractions of this world, to be able to focus on his word for your tomorrow. I don't want to stay where I'm at. Do you? I'm not upset where I'm at. I'm happy where I'm at. But with my understanding of my God, I know there's more out there. I know there's more things that he has for me. Not that material things that I'm going to get, oh, that's what I want, but there's more things that God has out there for me to attain or to achieve to help him in the kingdom of God upon this earth. Let us be found faithful. Let us be found actively pursuing the things of God on a daily basis, so that the application of God's word into my spirit is going to help me tomorrow. It'll help you this afternoon in some situations. So in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now this area and this verbiage here of inspiration of God also can be translated to God breathed. God breathed. God breathed his word into individuals that penned the Bible. But how did he do this? The scripture is the product of God's creative breath. So as God uttered the word, it becomes just that, the word of God. You got to get that solidified in your spirit that this is the word of God. Men and women, men, society out there will try to tell you, how do you know, how do you trust, how do you believe, how do you do, how do you? By faith. I'm a simple guy. I read it, I believe it, I trust it because I believe what God says. I believe what Jesus spoke about. I believe that of the Holy Spirit. You may not believe it. You may not want to believe it. You may want to fight about it. I'm not going to fight you about it. I just know that for my life, this is what I want. And for those that want to argue and debate that, I would just turn, you know, I know it says, you know, be quick and be quick to know how you're going to respond. But I'm going to tell you, I think when you look at that as far as be quick to be in season and out of season, a lot of it turns into that you don't get into arguments, you know, you don't get into fights over God's word. You speak what it is to you and to whatever they think it is. And if it's totally different, you have to leave it at that. It's not to say you don't love them and they can't be a part of your life. But until you individually get the Bible, God's word, solidified in you, in your spirit, to say, by faith, I receive it as just that. God breathed. It's God's word. Many will say that the Bible is just a book of what? Stories. It's a fable. It's a good storybook to read for nighttime. It's just human ideas about God. Well, why is that? Well, because humans wrote it. So it's got to be just human ideas. That's what it is. This is all wrong. It is through the Holy Spirit. God revealed his person and plan to certain believers who did what? They wrote down the message from God for his people. How? Okay, now listen. Okay, I want 100% participation on this. Who here are God's people? Yes, it's for us. It's for his people. If you're his people, this is written for you. And even before you be, well, before you actually became actively his people, it was written for you. It just had to be enlightened to you. The Spirit had to come upon you. You had to receive Jesus to come into my life, become Lord, and be reborn again. The Word of God has always been for everyone, the lost as well as the saved. It's just sometimes challenging to get it into the lost, because that's why we call them what? The lost. Their thoughts, their mind, their eyes, their heart, seared, hardened, whatever the case is. We're told that. But that doesn't mean that we give up on them, right? Was it last week's message about redeeming the time that we have? Make it profitable for that of God. Even if it's one person, redeem that time, the Word of God to that person's life, and whatever it is, if it's just in your actions, if it's in not your actions, if it's in just something very simple that you say, if it's some kind of a love or kindness that you show to them, whatever it is. But just redeem this time. And there's always going to be those scoffers out there that say, it's just a book of stories. How do you know? Well, I didn't live back then, but I take it for what it says. I'm going to tell you. In this day and age, and for many ages, if people can put their trust in their government, I can certainly put my trust in the Bible, because I can trust this. But I can't trust our government. And I'm not saying the government is bad, but I'm just saying the government is made up of men and women that are fallible. But God's Word is not fallible. It's not just coincidence that prophecies spoken thousands of years came about thousands of years later. Hundreds of years later, it came about. These people didn't get together and go, hey, I'm going to write this, and, you know, 800 years later, this person's going to confirm it or it's going to be done. It's not by accident. We find in 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21. So it's like, remember how I shared that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God? We talked about that as it translates to this. It's God-breathed. So we find that it's this way, and how did he breathe it? In 2 Peter 1 and 19, and do we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts? And then verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? The Holy Spirit. God spoke the word that he wanted these writers to write by that of the Holy Spirit into their lives. Now, this process is known as inspiration. So yes, the writers wrote from their own personal and historical and cultural context. It stands to reason, you know, the time that they were living, what their culture was about. That's why it's really fun to read a Jewish translation or a Bible that looks at the Aramaic and the Jewish and I think the Aramaic is like that of what God spoke or what Jesus spoke. So it all goes culturally, because a lot of things back then, it was what Jesus used, you know, the parables and things like that were all used to relate to something that back then the people could understand, and they could visually understand the whole process. Well, some of that today, when we look at it, being that we're more modern and things have changed tremendously, we have to look at some of these things and try to have an understanding of what does that mean in today's society. And generally, when we look at it, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, but it's just trying to get it to where we can understand it within our thoughts. But anyway, the men, and as they were used to write, they used their own personal, historical, and cultural context. With that said, though, they wrote what God wanted them to write. Scripture is God's word that we can read it and use it in teachings to guide us and to help us as we travel through life. Now, getting back to 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we know that the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God spoke to individuals when he penned and had them write his word down, by that of the Holy Spirit infused into them to write it what God wanted to be said. They wrote it to an understanding to where they could understand it at that time frame. And now we jump back to 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as we look at God's word and the application of God's word into our life, it is to do what? Make us complete, to be equipped, to do the work that he has for us to do. In wanting the truth from Scripture, we must never forget its purpose. In wanting the truth from Scripture, we must never forget its purpose. It's to equip us to do good. We need to be careful not to just study God's word to increase our knowledge or to help us win a disagreement. Our study of the word should be so that we can do the work of Christ in the world that we're a part of. Just knowledge of God's word is not useful unless it strengthens our faith and it leads us to do good as we live to redeem the time that we're given. And don't we find a lot of people out there that are just really knowledgeable of the Bible? It's nothing wrong with that. But if all they've got is the knowledge of this, but they're not applying it into their life today to help them or to be purposeful for what God wants, I don't think that's what God wanted. He wants that word of his to be in us, that living word, so that people can see that in us that are around us, so that there's a difference. And God's word is a difference in this world. There's a lot for us to be responsible about. And the one thing it is that we've got to be doing the things that God has asked us to do. But we can't do it if we are just half understanding of him, or if we don't trust his word fully, or that we're not moving along with the gifts that he's given us, or that we're not calling upon the scriptures that we have put within our spirit so that we, all of a sudden, you're talking to someone and something comes out, and it's like, I don't even know where that came from, but it somehow ministers to that person at that time. And it's the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit, that is pulling out God's app. Just like when I turn to my phone and I want to know what the weather is, if I want to know what the news is, if I want to know what this is, if I want to know what that, whatever the case is, I go to that app, it pulls up information, and I know what it's about. If I do that same thing with the app that God has, his word, the Bible, it's going to keep me, I believe, on that path that he has for me to be on. It's going to encourage me. It's going to help me. There might be things that I don't understand at the time, but I do believe God will eventually share something with me that will enlighten me to that situation or that cause. There's many things I don't have a clue about, do you? Many things. Things that are going on in life, in world, and our lives and families and this and that, and it's pretty ugly out there, isn't it? It's ugly out there. And it really hits home when it's ugly in families that you know that are foundationally built upon God and what God's word has spoken and they're followers of it and they serve God. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just this body here of people as small as we are that has a lot of things dealing in their lives and things of God, but it's in a lot of our churches. And it's not to say that the churches that they're at are bad. I'm just saying that the enemy is out there and there's so much coming upon people and trying to destroy people and trying to take the identity of people into whatever the enemy, the devil, can do to pull us back, to cause us to stop advancing the kingdom of God. He's going to do. And if we want to stop at this point, and I'm going to say, God, I am not going any further until I have clarity of understanding of why this, why that, how come that, Why not this? I may be standing here for a long time. Because maybe God is not wanting to share that with me at this point. But I've got to be willing, and I've got to be built up and understanding or mature enough in myself and my faith to say, I don't understand it, Lord. But I ain't stopping here. I ain't going to stop here. That might not be the best verbiage, but you understand when you say ain't. I'm not stopping here, Lord, until you tell me what I want to know. And then once you tell me what I want to know, then I will advance with you. You're not going to tell God what to do. And God will say, Tim, my friend, you're going to be standing there a long time. A long time. It's almost like us with our family and our kids as they're growing up. You got two opposing forces, the parent and the child. And these kids are lovely when they're young. But in raising up kids, when you come to a stalemate, anybody ever been at a stalemate with your kids when you're rearing them up and raising them up? But there had to come a time with some of my kids that when we got to that point and we were at a stalemate, somebody's will had to be broken. And was it going to be Dad's will or the child's will? That 12-year-old, that 13-year-old. But until we get to that point to say, as a father here on this earth, that I have got to break the will of that person, my daughter, my son, to get them to do or to follow what I want them to do, and we're going to stay right here until that happens. I'm not going to give you an inch, because you know what that happens. Give them an inch, and what do? Take a mile. When they try to pit mom and dad against each other, very good at that. There must be something that they learn. But they come out and they go, okay, here's the first thing I want to do. Let's see. I'm going to go get my mom and dad going to get each other, and then I'll come out the winner. Thank God. Thank God my wife alerted me to that. Thank God that God alerted me to that. Thank God that I responded accordingly to that, and that I said, no, mom and dad have to be on a common front. We've got to be in tandem. Mom and dad is this. The kids are this. Our direction, our desires, the things we expect of you, you're going to change and do it, or we're stopping right here until this thing gets figured out. You can't do that, Dad. I'm just going to call the police because one of my friends at school says you can't do that to me. I go, let's call the police right now because I'm going to do that to you if this is where it's going. It's amazing. I don't think I ever called the police. The will of that child telling the dad, go, you can't do that. You better be strong as the parent. God is that same way. Remember what I was saying. I got to this point. I got a lot of questions. I don't understand. I don't think. I don't want. Blah, blah. I'm not going anywhere, God, until you tell me right now. I'm going to throw a tantrum. God, you got to tell me. God will say, son, you're going to stay there. I'll get back to you later. You'll learn, I hope. And God will go on and do other things. But it's God's word in us. And that's why as we apply and we have that God's word, knowing that his word is there, train up a child, all these things that he tells us to help us understand life. If we would get back to what this says that they used to do way back in the early, 1800s for teaching of kids in school, this whole country would be a whole lot different right now, friends. But we have just seen it, how it has eroded these things. And we have to understand personally, we've got to understand the eroding of God's word in our personal lives if we do not continually apply it, continually go back to it, continually refresh ourselves with his application, continually look for hidden nuggets that are in there that they've always been there, right? It's not like overnight somebody got in my Bible and said, I'm going to add this verse here before Tim reads it now. And the next day I read it, I go, wow. That is powerful. It's always been there, but I've had to somehow become enlightened in it. I had to have by that of our spirit man or the Holy Spirit in us with my spirit man that it brings it to where I focus on it. And guess what it usually does? It speaks to the situation at hand. or something that's just passed, and I'm trying to figure this thing out. Okay, God, I'm not moving any further until I understand this. And then his love, grace, and mercy, you'd be reading scripture. I have had a lot of aha times when God's word, when I've gone through something, I might have gone through it, and then reading his word, it gives me some clarity or understanding of what just took place 3 months ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago. It's like, I understand that now, God. It's always been there, but it wasn't until it addressed maybe a particular situation in my life that it really meant something to my life, because I was hungering, thirsting, looking for something. And God's word is what it is to what it'll help us. When you hunger, it'll feed you. When you're thirsty, it'll give you drink. When you're beaten down and you're wore out, his word will what? Refresh you. Just get back to his word. Get back to what his word is telling you to do, what his word has shown you all along, and let the Spirit bring it back up to you. So we find out that it is the inspiration by that of the Holy Spirit. God spoke, they wrote it, we have it. It's a benefit for us today. Now, as we look at this, as I wrap this up, you look in Psalms chapter 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, as well as the longest psalm, of course. And we actually can look at that, just Psalm 119, as the Bible or God's application for our lives. And we're not going to go through all this, but this morning, putting this together, even late this morning, this first thing, I got up and I kind of dug into this and made a quick printout of it. I'm looking at this. I've been wanting to probably try to come up with a time throughout the week, maybe like at a 10 o'clock hour. And I'm thinking Thursdays at 10. Maybe have it like a Bible study. Come out here to the church. Those that want to come out, we can come out and sit at a table, and we're going to look at some Bible here, and we want to look at some of these things. And all of a sudden, it hit me this morning, because I've been toying with this for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Looking at this study, looking at that study. How can you do that? Oh, there are so many things out there. And then when this came upon me today, and thinking about God's application, the Bible, and then you look at Psalms 119, we find that in that one psalm, granted, it's a long psalm, but it'll help us to walk in obedience. It'll keep us focused. This is throughout the verbiage of Psalm 119, okay? I'm just going to hit some of these things that through that psalm, what you would find. It'll keep us focused. It'll keep us on track. It'll guard against sin. It'll bring revelation. And this is God's word I'm talking about, okay? The application of God's word will keep you on track, guard you against sin, keep you focused, provides counsel. How many here need counsel? Every week I do. After a Sunday, Monday, I need counseling, you know. It gives life. It brings understanding. It teaches us about faithfulness. This is Psalms 119. Helps us to endure God's word. Confirms God's promises. Reveals God's love. It cultivates in us a trust in God. It gives us hope. God's word provides comfort. It shows us God's grace. It helps us from going astray. God's word gives us perspective during times of adversity. Again, it gives us wisdom. It lights our path, brings joy into our heart. It helps us to avoid double-mindedness. Hello, anybody out there at times been feel like you've been double-minded? I do. Your mind is like split. It's like, I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of that, thinking of this, thinking of that. Then you got to do the voice say, stop it! Focus, Tim. Focus. It keeps our steps steady. Keeps our steps steady with God. It shows us what is right. Well, if it's going to show you what's right, guess what God's word shows you? It also shows you what's wrong. It'll help you stand during times of persecution. It brings you peace. It guards you from stumbling. God's word helps us. So these are things in Psalm 119 throughout, and it starts like in verse 1, and I ended like on verse 175, but I mean, it's from verse 1 all the way through. These things are spattered throughout that entire psalm. And I thought, Lord, is this what we need to look at on a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock? Just say, hey, come out. We're going to look at Psalms 119, and we're just going to dissect this thing. Because in my Bible, Psalms 119, Meditations on the Excellences of the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I need to meditate on the excellences of the Word of God. If nothing else, more so for the times that we're living, for the times that I'm living. There is so much throughout the Bible's books and verses. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But it is vitally important that all these apps that we have out here for our phone and all this information that people want to have us download and install on your phone, the one thing you really need, and you need to say it affixed to daily, is the Bible and listening to God's Word. Amen. It's better than any app that's on that phone. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, I thank you for how your word is true, how your word directs and leads us and guides us, how your word brings us comfort and strength, how your word heals us, Lord, and how your word takes care of us, Father, in anything and everything that we come a part of in our life. Father, on this side of heaven, we need your word every day. We need to be in your word every day. We need to be praying, talking, listening to you every day. And I thank you, Father, that you're there for that. You're there to hear us. You're there for us to talk to. You desire to speak to us. Oh, Father, may we find that urgency in our days to speak to you, to search you out in all the things that we have that are taking place, Father God. And may we, Lord, find answers as your word is the answer to everything in life, Lord. Whether it's in Psalms or Proverbs, my goodness, Lord. Two books right there, Lord, if we would just focus on those things, Lord, that it would direct our lives and help us tremendously. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true, that your word is alive. I thank you for the Holy Spirit leading it, Lord, into our spirit, Lord, and that we hear, and as the Spirit says, Lord, or as Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Now, Lord, what has been shared, I pray, it just resonates in the spirit of the people that are here. Bless them, Lord, I pray. Let their days ahead even be better than the days in the past. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.